Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Honey, you promised you would take the kids to the zoo today. When are you going to mow the lawn? Your parents are coming over and you're not even dressed. You promised you were going to leave your wife for me.
Don't let this happen to you. Everybody's working for the weekend, but your family and friends are always ruining your days off. Introducing Football Season, the best way to drown out the ones you love. Watch grown men run into each other head first. Marvel as overweight men chase a bouncing ball. Let the gladiators of today help you disconnect from the worries of the modern world. Get your 2018 college and pro football seasons today, and we'll throw in the Sinner and the Saints tailgate show, presented by Frost Brewed Coors Light, for free. That's right, you'll get two football leagues. Luke Anderson.
If you were at the gym and you saw Myers Leonard pull up in a Prius, met him at the swimming pool, but you didn't ever really have a chance to talk to him because he kind of dismisses of you, would you leave your name and number in his windshield?
Will Darkins.
I want to see more of the man bag, the alligator skin man.
And 2 hours you'll never get back, every Saturday morning for one low price. Just turn your dial to 1080. The Fan.
We're on an hour early, but the energy is already here.
Yeah!
Oh! Somebody's excited. It's Oregon game day. They're back at Autzen. And guess who else is back at Autzen? Today, right now, in the state of Oregon, it was pointed out to me, you've got Chip Kelly and LeBron James in the state of Oregon right now.
Oh.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, we might have lost Will for this.
Sorry about that.
No, hey, no, it's a big, big day in sports. Obviously, college football Saturday, UCLA taking on the Oregon Ducks. We've got LSU, Alabama in Death Valley at night. We have Ed Ogeron live with us doing the pregame here on the Sinner and the Saint.
Yeah, somehow we caught him out of the depths of the swamp, that swamp monster.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
Now, they did a, because, you know, game day's down there, right?
Yes, as they should be.
And they're down there, and they did some preview about Ed Orgeron and his wife and how much his wife means to him. Now, this is going to sound awful, like most things on this show. I can't believe he's married.
Wait, what?
I can't believe anybody would marry
that
much guy.
How much money does he make?
That doesn't matter to me. The voice and the look is too much for me. He is the walking embodiment of a bullfrog.
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's a select group of women that find Ed Ogeron and the Ed Ogeron type very attractive.
What is it that has kept you together so long? It's his voice.
Yeah.
It's his voice.
When he whispers sweet nothings into my ear.
Yeah, literally sweet nothings.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Can't understand a damn thing that comes out of it.
I'll bet that guy can cook some crawfish, though.
Sure. Oh, yes. He looks like an incredible cook.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You're only looking surface deep.
Of course.
You need to, obviously. Why would I go beyond
that?
That's
what I've been doing for 30 years.
If you look at the entire person that is Ed Ogeron, he's got a lot of wonderful qualities that make him a suitable mate for, I believe, Kelly Ogeron.
Kelly, huh?
I think that's her name.
You know, if I could chime in here,
Preston Highfield chiming in. Ladies and gentlemen, our social media guru and traffic and weather update.
Appreciate it.
Jeez.
So we didn't
wait for an introduction.
We do.
We're happy to have you on the show, Preston, but you don't just butt in. Clearly, we're having an in-depth conversation about something that matters to the sports listeners of Portland. And you think you just dive in on our Ed O talk? This is how we start every show. Our listeners demand it. And when you interrupt it, it throws off their chi.
So I should stay in my lane then. I'll let you guys do your thing.
No, please.
Okay. Well, we have the Sinner and Saint poll question out, as recommended by you guys. Who has the best voice in sports? Ed Orgeron, Mike Tyson, Kevin Harlan, or Macho Man Randy Savage?
Wait, Kevin Harlan. I specifically asked you to put in Bill Walton.
And I specifically said ignore what Luke said and put in Kevin Harlan.
I did side with Will here.
Unbelievable. Put in a new poll. Kevin Harlan or Bill Walton.
Well, we also have a good comment from one of our listeners, Nolan Waters, who threw out Patrick Mahomes. And yep. I don't know how we forgot that one because he has a really good voice, too.
I didn't forget that one. Pat Mahomes is like the new, you know, kid on the block. He's got Ed Ogeron's voice. He's trying to steal that.
Yeah, now, maybe he is. He looks like Steph Curry, but sounds like I don't even think he sounds like Ed Ogeron. He just kind of sounds like Miles Davis. Have you ever heard Miles Davis talk?
Well, I don't know that I have.
Well,
then
you should look it up because that's how he sounds.
Okay.
You whippersnapper.
I was thinking Louis Armstrong came to mind, but
that's it, right.
Is that your Louis Armstrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's not bad.
Hey, to get things started, Chip Kelly making his return to Autzen Stadium.
Chip.
I'll throw this to both of you. Preston, you're a Oregon grad. How do you think the reception should be for Chip Kelly if he gets – obviously, they're not going to do a big production, but how would you welcome Chip Kelly back as an Oregon fan?
Can you guys shut up?
In the student section, they better be doing the Big Balls Chip thing, man. When he walks by – remember the Big Balls Chip thing they used to do? They need to be doing that to kind of welcome him in. And, yeah. I mean,
shut up!
The crowd just needs to give him a standing O. I mean, he's 46-7 there.
Will?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague on Friday, and I think they had probably the best solution to all this, which is you give him a standing ovation when he comes out, and then you're kind of cleared. That's it. Like, from then on, it's you're the enemy, you're the opponent, we treat you as such, and that's it. There's no ill will towards Chip. He left, and I think the fan base knew exactly when and why he was leaving. There wasn't anything mysterious about it. This wasn't a Brian Kelly at Cincinnati situation or a Nick Saban at LSU or at Miami situation. He was very clear about the idea. I want to go to the NFL.
And sanctions are coming.
Sanctions are coming. I'm probably not going to be able to coach you anyway. So just let me go to the NFL. I think there was a very good parting, and it'll be great to have him back. Now, I think it's interesting that he's coming back so low on the food chain now.
Well, wait. So UCLA, one of their two wins is against Arizona. Arizona just beat Oregon. Therefore, by transitive properties, UCLA is the favorite in this game, right?
Yes, but UCLA also played Utah and got whooped by Utah.
Okay. And they lost to Cal, I think, too. So. Yeah.
Not good.
No, I mean, they beat Cal. They lost to who was the other common opponent that they had and got Washington.
Washington. Yeah. UCLA is absolutely terrible. And I think it was pretty premature for people to say hey, let's fire Chip Kelly talk after he had all those losses. Seriously, Jim Mora left the cupboard bare, like bad, really bad. There is no talent. Wilton Spate is your best quarterback option for today. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, and he doesn't exactly fit the prototypical Chip Kelly quarterback mold that you would like to see. But the thing that'll be interesting is college football is very different than when Chip Kelly came in and kind of took the world by storm with the blur offense too, though. So seeing what Chip Kelly does in Act 2 is going to be very interesting and what his offense looks like. Because just coming out and running speed at people and tempo isn't going to affect college football the way that it did a decade ago.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, he caught kind of fire in a bottle there, or lightning in a bottle there at Oregon.
Fire in a bottle?
not
you guys
fire
shut
in a
up.
Bottle. Like fire water? like fireflies?
Yeah. Catching fireflies?
Hey, will you shut up?
You just can't run this spread tempo with Wilton Spate at quarterback. It just does not look right. And even with that Dorian Thompson-Robinson kid, the freshman who they've had ups and downs with, and his dad's been criticizing Chip on Twitter this season.
Which is awesome, by the way.
It's pretty funny. And he's had to deflect questions. I could do that coach's conference call, and he got asked about it a couple times. But they don't even really run tempo very much. Like, I've watched him, and they don't. It doesn't look like
Chip Kelly's offense ran in Oregon.
No, and it's interesting because I think he took some aspects from the NFL and kind of tried to sprinkle them in. And you're completely right. It's not tempo, but I'm also kind of confused about what it is. One of the best things about Chip Kelly's offense, whether it was in college or in pro when he was with
Philadelphia,
was that he was always able to get playmakers the ball in space. Like, always. Every single freaking time. He did it with LeMichael James. He did it with Colt Laierla. He was able to do it with Michael Vick for, like, six games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at this offense now, and it just looks totally bland. And you can't tell if it's whether he's lost his magic or, again, like I said, cupboard's bare.
But you have to remember, there's a big difference in the transition from Chip Kelly taking over as head coach at Oregon, where he was the offensive coordinator and he had a big part in building the identity of that team and then taking over and then going in and having a complete rebuild and a new, you know, plan from what Jim Mora was doing. If you can call it a plan, Jim Mora never really did anything, but taking over and going, all right, now this is my team. Let me build it from scratch, essentially, versus going, all right, I'm the OC. I'm already a big part of the recruiting. I've got my guys in place. I know how to use the weapons that I have. Now I need to go out and execute that. It's very, very different just switching roles with a team versus taking over and starting from scratch too.
Yeah. UCLA last year when Josh Rosen was hurt was absolutely terrible too. Like yeah. He was the entire program. I think he missed like the Utah game. He missed a couple other games and they would lose like 45-7. Like without Josh Rosen, they were absolutely nothing. And they also lost Jordan Lasley and I believe Darren Anders was his name. Two really good receivers from that team. So they don't have a ton of talent for Chip to work with.
Well,
as far
you remember
as
Rosen
position.
Was the only thing that brought them back at the Texas A&M game. Yeah, I mean, they were dead in the water. I mean, if statistically, just by optics, that was the greatest comeback in college football history, and it was Rosen, and he didn't even really play that well.
All by himself.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. So Pac-12 schedule doesn't look as intriguing now that teams continue to get 2 and 3 losses. Across the entire Pac-12, but there are some great games around college football that have huge implications for the college football playoffs, none bigger than LSU and Alabama. So we'll get to all of that. Big games in the NFL. The Blazers are going to the NBA Finals. A lot more when the Sinner and Saint continues. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. Listen to a little Bruce Springsteen to start your morning.
Oh, the boss.
The boss. All right, big day of college football. We finally got our first college football rankings, and the committee obviously hedging their bet to make sure as many SEC teams get in as possible. As much as we all want to see Alabama lose, I think putting LSU at number 3 with 1 loss kind of means you need LSU to lose. Otherwise, it just sets up where Alabama has a chance to get back into the college football playoff, just like they did last year without even making their championship game. So as much as I'd like to say I want this to be a great game and I want Alabama to get knocked off, I think the committee has kind of thrown some wet blanket on me and just kind of made it where it's like, all right, let's just get all crowded at the top. And I'm actually upset about that.
Well, 55305, I want to hear from people on the Better You Today text line. Do you think that this was an inside job by the college football playoff committee, the idea of putting Alabama at 1, LSU at 3, and creating a safeguard for Bama? Which is, if they lose, they're not going to drop out of the top 4.
No, because they end up losing to the number 3 team.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's completely understandable loss.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with these rankings is it used to be who's the best or who's the most deserving. Now it's just like that the college football playoff committee's job is to say who's the best. Yep. And that's literally their job. So even if Bama loses, Bama's one of the 4 best teams. So they're going to put them in.
Well, no. What the college football committee's job, the playoff committee's job is right now is to protect themselves, whatever decision they want to make at the end of the year. They put these rankings in place. And I can't remember what the team was, but somebody was doing a breakdown on it before the final week of it. And they said, watch, they're going to put, you know, whatever team in the top 25 just so it makes Alabama look better. And I can't, it was one of their non-conference games and it was non-SEC team, but they ended up moving up one of their non-conference teams into a top 25 spot. So they go, look, they beat 14 top 25 teams in 6 games. How could you not put them in just because they lost to Auburn? And that's what they're doing right now. They're absolutely hedging their bet against Alabama losing this game.
Well, the thing that happened last year is what is basically proving why Bama should be in, unfortunately for Bama haters, is that they lost. They didn't even play in the SEC championship game, and they still won the national title, which has been like a recurring theme that has happened under Saban before.
Sure, Preston, but here's the thing that you're missing. What's the big argument against a non-Power 5 school being put into this thing?
A big question all week long will be about your quarterback, your offense.
Sorry, that was a longer shut up than I thought.
Get some Aaron Hendricks on the show.
So we had Suk on last week. We were out of Vancouver Ford talking with him.
You guys shut up.
Okay, there we go.
Well, but here's the argument against having a team like Boise State. Boise State beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. They can win if they have one shot at it, right? The argument is always, well, they can do it for one game, but can they do it for three or four?
By or getting an entire a
bye.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but Alabama got a bye week during the SEC championship game. Imagine they play that game. They have a key player go down. Then they have to go play a playoff game. Then the national championship. Essentially, what they did by putting Alabama in is they gave a team that had a bye week in the final week of the season a shot at the college football playoff with an extra week of rest. I know that they get that long stretch anyways, but it does affect you not having to play one more game. That's why bye weeks are so valuable in the NFL getting into the playoffs and all of those things. The college football playoff wants Alabama in there, not because they're one of the best teams. It's because the ratings go up, and the college football playoff is a money-making tool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Am I that far off in this?
No, not really.
Well, the thing is, if a Bama running back went down, they just replace him with another five-star. So I'm not super sold on that argument. That did happen to Auburn, though. Teams with less depth, like Auburn, people forget how the reason they lost so badly in that SEC title game is because like half their team got hurt against Bama the week before when they beat them. And so then they had like no one fresh. So I if it was like the next week, I would agree. But if you have like a month off, I don't know if it's that big of a deal. But the ratings thing is a great point because Bama brings ratings.
Well, and that's what it is. And if you put Ohio State in there, who went in when they did not win the Big Ten because they lost to Penn State. Penn State won, ended up going to a Rose Bowl and playing one of the best Rose Bowls I can remember watching.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But Penn State didn't get the opportunity because they wanted to make sure that they had the ratings up, and they put in Ohio State. They did the same thing with Alabama last year. And yes, I know that Alabama has all this depth and can't be beaten, but they don't win undefeated national championships every year. They won one against Texas, and in the college football playoff era, they don't have an undefeated season.
Yep.
They've got national championships, but they don't have an undefeated season. And if you keep getting everybody's best shot week after week after week, it becomes a lot harder. I mean, wouldn't you have wanted to see them play Georgia in the SEC championship game last year? And do you think it's a guarantee that they walk through and win? Remember, that team was down big to Oklahoma until they put in Tua. And
yeah.
I know that there's this idea that you can just throw in another guy from Alabama and they're going to win it, but they don't win every year. I know we think they do, but they don't.
Okay, so let's shift a little bit from Alabama.
Okay.
Because I feel like we can talk ourselves into a hole here.
Well, we've already done that.
We need to
drag us out of the hole, buddy.
Talk about the dark horse.
The dark horse.
And UCF. Okay, so they beat Temple. Temple's no team to slotch.
Well, they were losing to Temple, too.
They were losing, but they beat them.
They gave up 40 to Temple. But
okay,
yeah.
So they beat Temple. They got three more games. They got Navy, they got Cincinnati, and they got South Florida. If they went out, they go to their conference championship, whatever conference they're in, American Conference.
Sure. Is that it? Yeah. That sounds right.
If they went out, shouldn't they deserve to get in if Notre Dame loses and Alabama loses?
Yeah, stop. No.
Well, hold on a second. You don't really think that.
What's that? No, I don't.
If Bama, Notre Dame, and Michigan all lose, you don't think UCF gets in?
Well, so if you have Michigan and Ohio State lose again, so you have a two-loss Big Ten champion, is that what
yep.
you're saying?
And
you're
then you have a Notre Dame team that's a two-loss.
Well, they only need to be one loss, I think, to be eliminated. But you look at the other one-loss teams that are sitting there. So you need Oklahoma to lose. You need Washington State to lose. I think I'd put in a one-loss Washington State over an undefeated UCF.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
So
that's not that far out of the possibility.
Well,
I don't think.
But I'm not saying that they have to win. And then you just need absolute chaos. Because the winner of the SEC, I think, is in, even if they have two losses, which it's hard to picture because you figure you're going to get the winner of Kentucky and Georgia today is going to go in and be the representative in the East. The winner of LSU-Alabama is probably going to be a one-loss team representing the West, so you're going to have a one-loss SEC champion. I would expect that you have either Michigan or Ohio State, whoever wins that game, unless Michigan lays a dud against Penn State today.
I think
the winner of that game goes in and becomes a one-loss Big Ten. They're in. You're going to have a good team come out of you're going to have Clemson come out of the ACC, let's be honest.
Oh, my God. The ACC is a disaster.
And so there's your three teams. So yeah. I think you're waiting on Notre Dame, if Washington State can win out or if Oklahoma can win out, and those that's your fourth team.
I think you have to get UCF
or the
in
other
there.
SEC team.
You have to get UCF in there if they go undefeated this year. Right. I think you just have to figure a way to do it because they beat Auburn last year and they're on this insane winning streak. And if the whole point of the college football playoff, at least what the committee is saying is the whole point, is to put the best teams that deserve to be in there. They deserve to be in there.
I think here's your best hope.
Because otherwise, if they want to be completely transparent and say it's about money, then screw record. Just get Oklahoma, Michigan, Alabama, and Notre Dame in there. Well, that's it. That'll make you the most money.
Here's what you want, though. If you're a college football fan and you're looking at this going, oh, UCF deserves a chance. If you're trying to say it because they won 22 straight games or whatever it'll be by that point. Here's what you got to hope for is that they deserve to get in, but they don't open a door for them. You want at least two deserving teams sitting on the outside. You want UCF to win out. You want Notre Dame to win out. Ideally, you can get it where it's so mishmashed at the top of the SEC, you have to pick from one of those teams. It'd be great if Alabama got left out. They lose to LSU. LSU wins, so they put LSU in. You get a one-loss winner of the Big Ten, and you have at least two or three deserving teams that are on the outside looking in, because then the playoff committee is going to get so much pressure, and then you look at expansion. I think that's a better scenario, and that's the best thing UCF can offer, because UCF is probably not even the best undefeated non-Power 5 team, right? I mean, what, Fresno State right now Fresno has a better RPI.
Please.
They're better, but they're in all the metrics.
Don't give me the metrics. It's the about metrics. The eye test.
I'm looking at all the metrics here. I'm looking at their RPI. I'm looking at this rating system
I'm
over
looking
here.
At their
looking
RPO.
At the Power Football Index. I'm looking at a rating system that I made up on a spreadsheet using Excel. I moved it over to Google Docs. Everything translated just fine. The numbers stayed the same. Their ratings are better. Fresno State over UCF. That's what I say.
Let me tell you something. Huh? You ever look at this? What's their plus minus?
Yeah.
What's their plus minus?
Take a look at the
you
plus
tell
minus.
Me what the plus minus
Fresno
is.
Fresno State's plus minus plus. They're in the Central Valley of California, and there's a lot of viewers there. A lot of the farm workers are going to come in. They're going to enjoy that football.
1-800 big money. Big money. All right. We're going to have our picks in hour two. You call in. We make you cash. I have put a lien against my house. On this duck
my wife
brewing
is gonna
game.
Kill me if this bet doesn't come in. You'll hear all about it.
She told me my dog. I've had my dog for 6 years. We got together after that. She said she's gonna kill the dog if I don't win this bet.
All right, now you've taken it too far. Will,
it's hope, true.
Here's what we're hoping for.
It's true.
As a college football fan, as much as you want the best four teams, I think as you want the three great teams sitting on the outside, I think that is the one thing that's going to get people admitting that you need to expand this college football playoff in some meaningful fashion, whether it's six, whether it's eight, whether it's what does Mike Leach want, 32?
He wants like 16 or 32.
64. He wants a 64-team bracket. Playoffs start in November.
Yeah, okay, UCF is winning this argument because we're talking about them. Now, they shouldn't make the playoff. But we are talking about them, and ESPN and Game Day is talking about them, and so they're winning. They're winning.
Okay.
However, they're not one of the four best teams.
No, they're
and
not.
And it's not even close, Will.
All right. NFL is getting into crunch time. Let's take a look at some big quarterback matchups. We got Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. You got Mitchell Trubisky against Nathan Peterman. Big week in the NFL. We'll get to that right after we throw it to Will with the news. Better you to take text line 55305 just to carry over from our conversation about LSU, Alabama. If LSU wins by 70 today, it will not affect Alabama's long-term chances.
No, it really won't. That's the sad part. And I don't think it's so much of a thing of we have to extend or create more spots in the college football playoff. I don't think that's the solution. I think we just need to change the narrative about Alabama. I get that they're really good, but you know, hey, if they lose, maybe you drop them out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe they should earn their way back.
But again, it didn't start with Alabama. Remember, it started with Ohio State losing to Penn State, not winning the Big Ten, and still getting in. So it's not just Alabama. I think everybody thinks that it's this rule that they made that Alabama always gets in. Alabama earned their way in for the first couple years. Then they were kind of given a pass last year. But Ohio State was the first team to get that exception. So,
dude, Tua still hasn't played a fourth quarter.
Yes, he did. He played one in the national championship game. You calm down.
This year.
The greatest fourth
this
quarter
year.
Anybody's ever played ever.
This year.
All right, we'll get back into college football.
Luke's a huge Tua honk.
What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wait, what did he say?
Whoa. He said I'm a huge Tua honk.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's whatever.
Dude, he throws like 15 passes a game and he goes for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Well, which, by the way, that would just scare the living ass out of me if I was a pro recruit.
A pro recruit?
Pro recruit.
What are you saying? I said an NFL scout?
Yeah, pro recruit.
A talent, an NFL talent evaluator?
I think we should just call NFL scouts pro recruits forever
now. I don't know if that's if you're being recruited by the pros.
An NFL contractor? It should, though. It should scare the crap out of you that he can't play an entire game.
Well, and he can't slide, and he keeps hurting his knee.
And that he's, what, 5'10"?
Oh, he's like 5'8".
No.
Yeah, that guy's got no chance.
5'8".
This guy's got no future. Who's got a future? Justin Herbert. That guy's going to play on Sundays, and we'll talk about him at the top of hour two.
Okay.
We'll talk more college football there. We'll just write it right in there in that part of the show. So normally that would be our 10 o'clock hour. Today it's our 9 o'clock hour.
Yep.
Because we're doing the show an hour earlier.
Now,
so
you told me
that's
off air,
where we'll talk more about college football.
You told me off air and you promised we'd talk some NFL.
We're going to talk NFL right here, right now.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, here's,
get me into it.
Bill
I'm
Belichick.
Ready.
Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Keep talking.
You interested?
Yeah, now I am a little bit.
He was asked who he would take at quarterback over Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh. Well, what did he say?
Rodgers.
Did he really say that?
No, it's been implied like 1,000 times. This question has been parsed 10,000 different ways, and I've heard 1,000 different angles of it. Who would you take, Rodgers or Brady, right now?
Well, there was an ESPN article that basically delved into this for however many words. It was a very big piece. I read all of it because I'm a tool, and I'll read anything on ESPN. Who would I take right now? It's interesting because you have to base it off of a nice balance of success and talent, right?
Sure.
I would take Rodgers on talent, but you don't know what Aaron Rodgers looks like with a competent coach and an effective roster behind him. Probably the best roster he's ever had was in 2011.
And what did he do with that?
They almost went undefeated. Yeah. I think they got through almost like week 13 or 14 with no loss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you take Rodgers, but then you also look at Rodgers and you say he's somebody who mentally he's a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah,
right?
The weird thing was the Mina Kimes piece on him about how he didn't know what to do after he won his Super Bowl.
Yeah, that whole thing, he hired some spiritual guide or something. It was very strange. He has a very strange affection to him. Has completely disavowed his family. Has a very weird relationship with his head coach, Mike McCarthy. And I mean, it's not even like a very straightforward, you can understand it type of relationship. He continually undercuts him in the press. I mean, it's very strange. And so that's why you kind of lean over to the Tom Brady side, right? Even though Tom Brady is an enormous D-bag, he is extremely talented and he's extremely coachable.
Well, this is one of the things that I've always said. It's not necessarily that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, no matter who they were paired with, were going to be great. Sometimes it's just getting a guy that, or two guys that understand each other really well. I mean, Phil Jackson had this effect on both Michael and Kobe, but those guys played independent of Phil Jackson and didn't have the success that they had. Sometimes when you just get a guy that knows how your talents are best used, and you talk about building a team around Aaron Rodgers, the thing is they rebuild the Patriots around Tom Brady every year. I mean, they've won 5 different Super Bowls with 5 very different teams, and the best team didn't even win the Super Bowl, and that was the Randy Moss team where they broke every NFL single season record, went undefeated for 18 games, and couldn't quite win 19.
I still believe that's the greatest NFL team of all time.
It's hard to disagree, but
everybody
they're
always,
one blemish.
Yeah, well, everybody always throws that in my face, and I just kind of go, yeah, I guess so, but let me ask you this now. Who do you think wins between them and that 70s Dolphins team that went undefeated? And every time you'll go, oh, Patriots, easy.
Well, yeah, but again, it's all relative. And we get in this conversation with when we talk greatest of all time in any sport, when you go eras and you go, all right, well, for their era, you know, they were the greatest team, I think is a way more realistic way to do it. If you took that game and played it today, what rules are you playing with? Are you playing it where you can hold on to every wide receiver that goes out in a pattern? Are you playing on natural grass and it rains every week and there's always snow? Larry Zonka's going to dominate because the grass is 4 inches long. I mean, it's you can't make those cross era comparisons, because we know if you took all of the guys that are on that Dolphins team, talent for talent, they're not as good as any team in the NFL today, because they don't have the same sports medicine behind them. They don't have the same workout regimen. They didn't play the same college football
or
high school
steroids.
Football.
They don't have steroids.
That's very true.
Come on.
Well, I think they did.
Make this easy.
Then And they're not smoking cigarettes in the locker room today. So I think that makes a difference, too. Go back and watch old NFL highlight reels, and you'll see, you know, those guys are smoking cigarettes in the locker room.
Yeah.
It's obvious. So, yeah. But the funny thing is, when you go and you make these comparisons, you have Brady, who's at the end of his career, and you can't really trade his career for anything. Aaron Rodgers, I think where we're at right now with him is, you're like, what if? There's so many what ifs, and he still has time ahead of him. But you still go, if he was with a better team,
that
if he
contract
was with a better
he
coach.
Signed is concerning. I honestly thought Aaron Rodgers at a certain point would just leave. Like, I was kind of hoping.
Thought he would do the old Kirk Cousins and just franchise for a couple years until they let him go.
Let's not compare Aaron Rodgers to the NFL equivalent of, like, Newt Gingrich.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's what it takes for a quarterback to leave. I mean, if you want, you're not going to go and demand a trade. Maybe you would, but if you're an NFL team, why would you trade off Aaron Rodgers? There's no assets that you're going to get
back. Because maybe he won't play.
Yeah, maybe. I guess he could sit out. I mean, that's pretty unprecedented, but the way that Kirk Cousins got out of Washington was he was franchised for multiple years.
Kirk Cousins is still young. I mean, this is getting to a critical situation where it really doesn't look like the Green Bay Packers are going to be able to afford any help whatsoever, like in 5 years. Like, their best hope is getting really, really lucky or maybe very skilled at talent evaluation in the draft, and you get some good core pieces you can build around. The offensive line is in complete tatters. You have a very average at best wide receiver core. I guess you could try to go draft some more wide receivers. You don't have a running back. Your defense is aging. You just got rid of HaHa Clinton Dix. I mean, you're kind of staring down the barrel of a crappy situation in the next 5 years if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I don't disagree. But
I mean, he put himself there, but you also as a fan go, dude, I don't see that guy winning another Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't know. Peyton Manning did the same thing, and it never was to the detriment of the Colts when he did that. I mean, when they finally got a defense, they won a Super Bowl, I realized, but they went to two. Drew Brees has taken all the money that they can print in New Orleans and give it to him. He's got a Super Bowl.
He deserves
there.
It.
Yeah.
But Saints are going to win the Super Bowl this year, by the way.
What's that?
Saints are going to win the Super Bowl.
Saints
this
might
year.
Not win. Ooh. Well, here's your Super Bowl matchup. Another game this weekend, Saints Rams.
Saints are going to win the Super Bowl.
All right.
They have that look. I called it with the Eagles last year.
Oh, and, we didn't know that we had a mystic in our. Oh, then, I'm sorry.
Trust me.
The premonitions of Preston Highfield.
You can print the shirts right now.
All right.
You can print the shirts.
Well, there you go.
The Saints are winning the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, listen, that ends any conversation when you can print the shirts. All right.
Print the shirts.
Wait, can I say something about the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Okay.
I want to hear it.
I know.
So here's something that people don't talk about enough. Tom Brady, and everyone's going to criticize this, which is hilarious, takes serious pay cuts. And he's got all the money in the world. His wife, Giselle, has all the money in the world. But he takes a lot of pay cuts for everyone around him to get paid and for them to bring in defensive players and skill position guys and blah, blah, blah. And if Aaron Rodgers hadn't taken this richest contract in NFL history, not that he deserves it, but had he not taken that, they'd be able to afford a lot more.
Yeah, the Patriots still rebuild their team every year. They bring in guys that you've never heard of that come in and get four touchdowns
in
a game.
Yeah, but
they
also pay like Van Noy and Hightower and these like amazing linebackers.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest with each other. Look, Tom Brady's going to get ownership stake in that team when he retires.
Yeah. Bill Belichick's paying him under the table.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll leave our NFL conversation there for now. There's a lot more pro football in the season, and this will be a good benchmark to see how good these teams are. But we need to get to good versus evil, so we'll do that right after Preston Highfield brings you traffic.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the sinner and the saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
your career high, 50 points. What does it mean to you, Derek?
Everything, man. I work my ass off, bro. I wouldn't have did this for the franchise, the organization, the fans, everybody, man. I wouldn't be able to play the way I play, man.
That was a man made from a collection of third grade macaroni art drawings, Derek Rose. The former league MVP, now Timberwolf, caught lightning in a bottle this past week during a 128-125 home win against the Jazz. Rose dropped a 50-burger and grabbed the game-winning block. The 30-year-old has been cut down in his prime by many injuries. Other superstars, including LeBron James, took to social media to praise him. Also important to note with Rose, he was accused of a gang rape in 2015 and awaits appeals court later this year. Do you think he can keep this play up?
Sorry, what was that?
I think it's important to always remember that this quote unquote heartwarming story, like, he's still facing an appeals court for gang rape.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like,
I know, but
I feel like we probably shouldn't forget about that.
No, that's fair. But then you throw it to, can this heartwarming story continue? The way you set that up and knocked it down and then reset it up was a little,
and then now you're acting like little, you didn't do that.
A little difficult.
I am holier than thou.
Jeez, Darkens. Yeah, I guess. I don't like, I'm not sure what to go from there. Yeah. He was one of the youngest MVPs in league history. He's obviously got all the talent in the world. He made 4 of 7 threes, which we didn't know he could shoot. So yeah, if you can add a 3-pointer to the game that he has, he can, if you can do it once, you can do it again. He probably won't stay healthy to do it, and he may end up in prison. So
there's been a tremendous pushback on the board of Regents, who we were told it was their top priority to bring back DJ Durkin, and that they essentially gave University President Wallace Lowe an ultimatum: if you don't fire, or if you don't bring back DJ Durkin, we will fire you. Remember, the board only had the authority to fire Wallace Lowe. They did not have the authority to retain or remove any campus employee like DJ Durkin.
That was Most Punchable Face 2008 Award recipient Adam Rittenberg. He's detailing the tremendous disaster that is DJ Durkin's time as Maryland Terrapins head football coach. That saga finally came to an end this week after the university fired Durkin one day after he was reinstated by a board of regents. This comes after Durkin claimed ignorance involving the conditioning death of former offensive lineman Jordan McNair. The former head coach is now due $5.5 $3 million on the remaining of his contract. Who do you think touches this job with a 10-foot pole this offseason?
It's hard to say, but it'll be a young coach looking for an opportunity to make a name for himself. I mean, anytime you can get a Power 5 job, that's good. But this has been such a mess for Maryland. It's really sad because you have a young man that died, and then it becomes political and it becomes motivated by money and figuring out the best way to make sure that all sides are happy. And they've taken misstep after misstep after misstep. But we've seen teams like Baylor. I mean, they haven't certainly come back to the prominence that they have, but they've moved on from the Art Briles era. You've seen, Penn State move on from Joe Paterno. So it's not new to big-time college football to have scandal. I mean, if you can get past the Jim Tressel tattoo scandal, you can get past anything.
Oh, God. I can't believe that you had a Board of Regents reinstate him and then think it was a good idea for him to go back out on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, it's
like, what do you tell a parent?
Exactly. The whole thing is absolutely insane. But your question is, as far as who's going to take the job, there'll be somebody. If he's getting paid $5 million not to coach there because he killed somebody or under his watch someone,
there's somebody
died
out there thinking, I think I could do that better.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not stepping in for Bear Bryant.
Everybody's telling me don't go, and the worst thing you tell me is dare me or say I can't do something. In that respect, I enjoy being here. I've been in several organizations, several buildings. There's an awful lot of good things here. We've got to win.
That's a man who looks like he's never heard of internet porn, Greg Williams. Good news for Fat Walter White lookalike this week. He's been promoted to interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns after the canning of Hugh Jackson. Never mind that Williams was at the center of New Orleans' Bountygate scandal. Let's instead focus on his comment at a recent press conference that read, quote, Since I left Buffalo, I had 11 letters to interview for head coaching jobs. Four of them didn't even have to interview. Just show up and sign the contract. This was made even funnier because Brian Billick, for some reason, was on Twitter, retweeted it, and said, quote, "Me too, bro. Me too." How many more wins do you think the Browns will have with Williams at the helm?
Okay, so how many more? There's, what, a total of three?
Two.
Oh, there's just a two wins and a tie.
Yeah, and a tie. I think you were counting the tie as a win.
I mean, a tie is basically a win. I mean, it's half a win.
Well, let's just assume that.
Well, listen, if your entire tenure, you only have two wins, you have to give them a lot of credit for that tie.
Wow, I've never seen you take so much stock in a tie.
Listen, ties are a big deal, you know. Anyways, I don't know. I expect Greg Williams to be fired pretty quick. He's pretty delusional, so I don't think he gets the same two and a half year window to accumulate two wins. So I'll take push on this, Bob. But the tie gives Hugh Jackson the edge.
Now you turned it into a gambling
game. Hey, why not?
I'm sure there's a line out there for that.
Yeah, that's probably
it has to be. All right, time for my favorite story of the week, and this one comes from the sunny state of California. Scientists at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla have recruited an unlikely ally in their efforts to develop a new universal flu vaccine. Llamas have been used to produce a new antibody therapy that has the potential to work against all types of flus, including new pandemics. Influenza is the ultimate shapeshifter constantly. All right, this is not part of the story. This is why a new flu...
Did you prepare for this at all?
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's just get to the point here. They're using llama blood to treat all forms of the flu.
There you go. Yeah, nothing can go wrong with that when you take animal blood and inject it into people. Just let the llama spit on everybody and we'll all be safe. Yeah, I don't see anything going wrong with that.
First thing I thought when I heard this was, that movie I Am Legend.
Oh, are we going to get llama strength?
Yeah.
Getting llama strength, everybody.
Where I think everybody's going to turn into ravenous llama-crazed zombies. I mean, that's what that movie was, right? They created the cure for cancer, and it gave everybody really bad rabies. Yeah. They went nutters.
Yeah. The flu is cured, but now everybody's got llama craze.
Let's see. Not sit in bed for a week, become a ravenous zombie. Oh.
So what you're saying is I Am Legend meets The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, for the most part. And everybody will sound like David Spade.
Yeah. It sounds
swishy.
Sounds dangerous. I think anytime you oversimplify science and just put those headlines out, yeah, it's perfect fodder for, hey, let's take this to the most closely related movie reference that we can figure out. So, yeah, I'm sure that's what will happen. There's nobody in the FDA or in any of the universities that will go and double check to make sure we don't become llama zombies.
Yeah, well, that's why they have the guinea pigs, right?
Hey, listen, if you can get rid of polio, you can get rid of the flu. Science is amazing. Yay, science. You've been on a big science kick with your favorite stories lately.
I love science.
Science is fantastic. Do you love science, traffic guy?
I have a name.
I know, but you also have a job.
Whoa.
It's true.
Jeez. Somebody's holier than thou. Yeah. I'd like to be referred to by my name.
I was actually still stuck up on the last story of Greg Williams and Bounty Gate because I can't get Jeff Fisher or Bounty Gate out of my mind when it comes to Greg Williams. Science is cool.
Wait, Jeff Fisher was involved in Bounty Gate?
No. Greg Williams was the D coordinator under Jeff Fisher for the Rams.
Yes.
Oh.
Bring back. I forgot about that. It's my professional goal to get Jeff Fisher back into the NFL.
All right. Yeah. Way to ruin the end of another segment. You are absolutely.
You don't have to work too hard.
You're doing fantastic. With a bunch of.
What did you want to comment on science? What was I supposed to say there?
Science is great. And then I go, thank you. That was Good versus Evil, brought to you by our friends at 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
I do have an update.
2454 East Burnside or 52nd and Woodstock. No updates from you. You do traffic and weather now, and that's all you get to do. You get out of here. We'll do it next hour. Sinner and Saint, second hour starts after what? Traffic and news from Preston.
Just stop talking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.